The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The sun is finally out again, and to make your garden feel as impressive as possible, why not add some roses? And I'm joined by gardener Mary Staunton. Mary, so many questions have come in on this since I mentioned it this morning. People love the roses.
Everybody loves roses, and you know, the amount of texts I've got, never mind anything else, it's one of those things, and it's a really good year for roses. We got a lot of water and they're coming into, and we didn't really get a really bad winter, so they're looking their best now. So it's a kind of finding the best rose for your garden, really. If you've got a small garden and want a kind of a climbing rose, I put up an Instagram yesterday of Rosa Philispide.
I watched that and I thought they didn't really look like the traditional rose.
No.
They're slightly different, aren't they?
They're not like very, you know,
rosy
in your face. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, in your face roses. So if you're looking for one that's like, the Hypertees, so there's different types of roses. Hypertees, they would be in a shrub border, and they're the ones that are good for cut flowers. So they're the ones that one bloom grows on a stem and it's really easy to take off, and then you put that in your vase. And then there's Floribunda, which have a number of, a cluster of flowers on a stem.
They're beautiful. I'm looking at a picture of them here.
Stunning, stunning, stunning. And then you have Grandiflora, which is a mix between the Floribunda and the Hypertea. So that kind of gives you an in-your-face rose that you kind of, the neighbours would be jealous of, but lots of them. Do you know what I mean? So there's a difference.
There's lots of choice. Now, this is, I think, a great question to start with. Someone who would love to have roses, but they kind of intimidate me.
Yeah.
Will I need to do a lot of looking after them?
No. Roses are, they always say, let your worst enemies at your roses. And that's actually the truth. People forget or are worried about pruning them back. So in February time, you'll see them in the garden centres in February, and they have, they're like about kind of 30 centimetres in the pots, only tiny, just a few sticks, that's all they look like. So if you kind of continued in that vein and did that with your Hypertees and your all your roses, except for maybe Rambling Rose and Climbing Rose, but cut them back properly. And the idea is to have
cut
it open.
Cut the divil out of them.
Cut the divil out of them, exactly. My mother and father used to have a rose, or they still do have a rose in the front of their house, 60 years. And whenever they went away, I used to cut it back to the butt. Absolutely. And then
they were gone.
Yeah. And they come back and they'd be horrified. And then it would flower beautifully for the summer. So the roses like to be pruned back. They also like heavy feed of manure or something like that at the beginning of the season. Don't go too close up to the stems, but just a heavy feed of manure, really good rotten manure. And that'll stand them in good stead for blooming. If you don't give, you know, feed to roses, then you're not going to get as many flowers.
So why don't you go right up to the stem with the feed?
Might burn the, it depends on, well, rotted manure has no smell. So if you buy manure and it has a smell, then it's not well rotted. So it has to be about 5 years old. That's why, generally speaking, you buy them in bags.
Can you get that in garden centres?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it's not smelly?
No, it's not smelly at all.
Okay, that's good. A listener says, can you still get carpet rose?
You can, of course. They're little patio roses, carpet roses. They're front of border. They will cover kind of an area and they never really stop flowering. And then the great thing is you can go at them with a shears. That's what I really like. So you're cutting them back. So everything else kind of has to, you're using a secateurs or a loppers. But with a patio rose or carpet rose, you're just going at them with a shears at the end of the season.
Suit me now, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. That's so you.
No technique
even
required.
Even the lawnmower. Yeah.
Can you ask your expert for a suggestion for a nice scented climbing rose, non-vigorous, for a south-facing fence? It will be a large pot or planter, about 60 litres.
Okay. So Pink Cloud, Rose of Pink Cloud would be a beautiful one. Scented, gorgeous blossoms on it. Roses tend not to like pots, just to say. So you are going to have to top dress. We mentioned top dressing before, did we? How to do it?
No, tell me.
Okay, so every year you take out maybe 3 or 4 inches of the soil at the top of the pot. Take it all out and put in new stuff and a good feed. And you have to do that if you're going to keep things in a pot.
Every year.
And also you'd want to be putting in a couple of shovelfuls of your own soil from your garden, because in that there's these beetles that eat the vine weevil. So if you can mix that in, that helps with the vine weevil. Otherwise, you're going to be having to use a chemical in it as well.
So don't use all compost from your...
No, definitely not. It has to be a really heavy mix for roses. Well, when you think about it, it's going to get, you know, weighty. if it's going to be on a fence and it's in a pot, it's going to be getting weighty, as in, you know, if we get a lot of wind or and that sort of thing. So you need a good, it's ballast. You need a good heavy pot. Stuff in it. Yeah.
Paul wants to know, is peat-free compost better, not just for roses, but in general for gardening?
It's better for the environment, but it's certainly the new compost, unless you're adding in mixes of your own, like more grit, more homemade compost and stuff like that, they tend to dry out really fast. Mm-hmm. So you can use the water crystals as well to keep it hydrated. It tends to dry out much quicker. Back to my point again about adding in some soil from your garden, your own compost into that mix as well, so that you have a good balance and a bit of feed as well.
What's your favourite rose, Mari? Do you have one?
My favourite rose, I saw it when I was up in Antrim there recently, and it's called Rosa Remember Me. And it's just the most beautiful. I've never seen anything like it. And it's just perfect. You know when a rose is just perfect. But I do have a grower for Dublin Bay rose, the colour. You know, it's just, you can see it for miles.
What
red.
Colour is it?
Red.
Just a really strong
pure
crimson.
Pure red. And it's gorgeous as a climbing rose on a house, you know, the on a south-facing position or west-facing. It's just glorious. Yeah.
Okay, back to some questions. Mm-hmm. These are more general, right?
Yep.
Some large thistle weeds that grow up between my hedges. Is there any way to kill off the weeds without killing the bushes?
Difficult enough. There are organic kind of weed killers now that you can put on. If you get them early, you know, if you get these things early, you can pull them out, because they start off very small and then they end up like triffids before you know where you are. It's like, look, where did that come from? So you have to try and get it early. But yes, I mean, systemic herbicides work like that. They when you spray them onto the leaf, and I shouldn't even be promoting herbicides really, when you spray it on the leaf takes it in and then kills it from the root. So it takes it in through a growing leaf, mm-hmm. and then kills the root. So if you are spraying, there are organic sprays that you can use as well, and they don't kill animals and everything else, but they do eventually go down through the root system and kill it.
Better though to just pull it out?
Pull it out.
With the good gloves?
With the leather gloves.
Leather
gloves. Or you
gloves.
Will be very sorry.
Don't forget that. What's the best treatment for rose sawfly, apart from squishing them?
Squishing them. You see, back to again, you can use pest control, and but they do affect then other pests, you know, like there are ladybirds eat the aphids, you know, the food chain has then been disrupted.
So unintended consequences.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is difficult. No, you just have to, go after them. That's it.
Squish them.
Okay. Between the caterpillars on the box and the sawflies and everything else that's attacking stuff at the minute, there's a lot of squishing going on in gardens.
Do caterpillars like roses?
They like, you know,
like anything.
Yeah. So, they're really their main kind of the box caterpillar at the moment is just decimating box hedging. Mm-hmm. And people are going out and squishing them at night and stuff. You know, who knew? Netflix and then squishing caterpillars, jeepers.
This listener wants to grow some veg in the garden. They were thinking about starting with simple things like garlic and scallions.
Yeah.
Can I do those in a pot, or do they need deeper ground to grow properly?
No, they're ground in a pot. And the great thing about, I suppose, in a pot, it's, you know, there is a system of growing veg. So you can't grow garlic and onions in the same place next year as you did this year. So having them in a pot and then just changing the pot to a next pot because they get onion rot. So yes, it's perfectly acceptable to grow stuff in pots, especially if you've got a small garden and, you know, a little balcony garden or something. Perfect.
It's a good way to start as
it
well,
is,
isn't it?
Because then
it's
you can keep an eye. You know, veg gardens are usually down the end of the garden, you know, and you have a lot of walk, you know. So in pots, it's much easier.
Listener, Liam, this is Liam, who has standard roses.
Lovely.
Prune them in February.
That's right, yeah.
They're flowering, but the branches have also bolted. What does that mean?
So we got a lot of water. We got a lot of water. And then if you're pruning in February, you'll get, generally speaking, you're pruning before the sap starts to rise. Okay. So when the sap rises, you get an injection of vigor into the plant and it starts to kind of really go mad. Just trim those ones back. You know what I mean? If they're all over the place and the shape is kind of all over the place, because they'll reflower on where you make the cut anyway. So
in answer to his question, can they be pruned mildly?
Mildly.
Yes, they can.
Yes, they
mildly
can.
Mildly.
Not
don't
like
go mad.
A major haircut. No.
Any advice for black spot on the leaves of a David Atten rose, please?
Okay. David Austin rose. It's
Austin. We're missing a couple of letters.
We knew what it was, though. Some roses are more susceptible to black spot, and that's just a given. And generally, they are the ones that are more scented. So that's the trade-off. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So generally, you take up the leaves, just take off the ones with the black spot. You take up the leaves off the ground and back to the little cinnamon spray. So cinnamon is an antifungal, has antifungal properties. So I just put in two cinnamon sticks into a little Mr. Sprayer bottle and I'd spray...
With water.
With water, full of water. Take the cinnamon sticks out and then just spray the rose leaves and then the ground around it so the spores can't...
So when you're picking off the leaves that have the black spot, do not leave them.
Do not leave them on the ground because the spores will rest in the ground and then come back to infect that plant next year. They just lie there and wait.
Dibbles.
Awful.
Okay, so spray with a cinnamon spray and...
I mean, you can get chemicals, but cinnamon has an antifungal, those properties.
Any tips for getting rid of ants?
And again, cinnamon dust interrupts their kind of their
gallop.
Yeah, their gallop exactly into your kitchen, you know. So, yeah, again, try cinnamon. They used to say peppermint in a pot at the front door, that sort of thing. And again, there is a powder that can be used as well.
Yeah, but if you want to avoid that, try cinnamon and a bit of peppermint.
Exactly.
Mari, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Lovely to see you. Smelling the roses, as always. Mari Staunton, official on Instagram for lots of tips until we see you next time. Now, what do I need to tell you about before we go? Yes, a reminder to check out the latest episode of the Never Have I Ever podcast with thanks to O'Brien's Wines. This week, I met celebrant Karen Dempsey, perhaps better known by her social media handle, The Bald Priestess. And Karen told me about the experience of witnessing so-called deathbed weddings.
Usually a couple is talking about the rest of their life and all that's ahead of them. And this couple knows, they know what's ahead. And they know that they are still here, hand in hand, pledging their love and commitment to one another in marriage. And the other thing is very often, one spouse, the one who's dying, very often doesn't have a lot of breath. We have to remember that, you know, we can't ask them to pledge a big vow or to say big words. Very often, I do is as much as they can say.
That's Karen Dempsey. And that was a fascinating chat that I really enjoyed. Just search for Never Have I Ever on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. So that brings us to the end of the programme today. Thank you for listening. You can listen back on the Go Loud app if you missed anything. The team today, Cormac McDonough on sound, producers Dee King, Helena O'Toole and Alex Russo. Research by David O'Connor. Our broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.